WPFW, Washington. Live from Ben's Next Door, 12th and U Streets Northwest, it's the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry D. Kester. It's seriously funny, and it begins right now.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester, the Doctor of Sagacity. I'm here by myself tonight.
No, you're not. Don't give me that.
Really?
Nice try, Terry.
Come on, I wasn't here last week. It's only fair that I'm here by myself tonight,
No. Well, you're in your own little world, Terry, but there are actual physical people present around you.
That's usual for Terry.
Hey, you might not notice that. We have a live audience for the Raucous Caucus, if you don't mind here. Okay. And I actually am here with my companion to my right.
Garland Nixon.
And my companion to my other right.
Mark Levine.
Mark Levine. This is the Raucous Caucus on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica, broadcasting across Washington, D.C. with 2,000 pathetic watts.
For the record, I'd like to protest the ideological alignment and sit over, so Mark and I can both sit on your left.
Backing up.
Why don't you tell them where we are? Because if they're having trouble hearing our signal, they can hear us in person.
Where we are. No idea. I just got off an airplane. I've flown across the entire country. I don't know where we are. Is this Ben's Next Door?
We are at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street Northwest. The reason our signal is low tonight is because you may have recalled a little storm passing through this area.
Tea parties. Tea parties and fashion.
I lost my power. Yeah.
Well, you lost your power years ago, but that's another story. I didn't want to get into that tonight on the radio show.
Garland? Where's the drum?
Everything's fine with me because I have determined that, climate change is a fraud.
Right, 104 degrees.
I saw it on the Glenn Beck show.
Storms that virtually never occur in nature.
Sweet wife just
glaciers
pointed
aren't
out.
Melting.
Jan, who's here tonight.
A unicorn told me.
She just saw in the paper that somebody wrote in. This is unbelievable. It's not on topic for tonight, but it's unbelievable. They wrote in and said, because they're a Christian, they know there's no such thing as global warming.
Right.
They're really thinking hard out there.
I don't remember where in the New Testament it said
global
warming doesn't exist.
Well, somewhere in Leviticus, I think.
Don't blame always blaming the Jews. That's not our fault.
Hey, we didn't write Leviticus.
It's not our fault. No. Hey, listen, folks, if you want to join us at Ben's Next Door, please come on down. We know our signal is unusually weak tonight. That's rare.
But
usually we have 50,000 watts. So if you're having a little trouble hearing us, blame the storm, blame Pepco.
Blame Terry.
We should blame Terry.
We blame him for pretty much everything.
We'll be back next week with a full 50,000 watts.
Oh, you optimist.
Hopefully, pray to God, with one of our listeners who actually donated enough money to give to the show and to give to WPFW.
And co-hosting with us. Yes.
And her name is Janice, and she's going to be talking about Virginia and the lack of equal justice under the law
and
in
the corruption.
Virginia.
And what is it Janice just introduced? Virginia is rated 47th, correct? 47th or 49th as the most corrupt state.
So just remember, at least one state is definitely more corrupt than Virginia. So I think Virginia's doing very well.
It's always Texas.
It's doing very well. That's true. It's a good thing D.C.'s not a state because they'd probably be down there.
I thought she was going to say in IQ, and when you two guys left, it jumped up to fourth.
Something like that. You're
that's
rude.
What I thought.
Anyway, I want you to know I flew across the entire United States. I was out in Portland, Oregon, and I was in the fires in Colorado, which was a lot of fun.
You were in Colorado with the fires.
Flying a C-131. Yes.
Wherever Terry goes, smoke pours out. Disaster follows along. Things spontaneously combust into flames.
I'm the only person.
And then he claims not to be Beelzebub.
Yes. Right.
We don't believe him.
I want to tell you that
he's more like that guy on the Flintstones. Bad luck, Sleprock. Bad luck, Sleprock. That's a little.
Are we going to have a tough time staying on topic tonight?
Probably.
Yes, we do.
What is our topic tonight, Terry?
I just wanted to point out one thing before we get to the topic. Flying across the country. And you know what? In the rest of the country, Washington, D.C. doesn't exist. I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
And the reverse is true.
Yes, which is part of what's wrong with
in Washington, the rest of the country doesn't exist.
Right, exactly. Anyway, the topic is assuming that this country exists and assuming that Washington exists and assuming that there's going to be an election, which is going to bore us to tears. We might as well have it tomorrow. One, we have a great solution. We figured this out. I haven't mentioned this to my colleagues yet. But all the money that's going to be spent, on the ads and everything else.
Billions and
in fact,
billions.
This was a gentleman on from a Wyoming radio station, as a matter of fact, that I was flying with as a radio station in Cheyenne. And he came up with the idea, and I agreed with him. Instead of running all these ads, we just give each American approximately $11,000 to $12,000.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that.
And if they vote, they get to keep the money. And if they don't vote, they don't get to keep
the
money.
Hey, how about this? If they don't vote, they still get to keep the money.
Oh, either way, just as long as we don't have all those damn advertisements for 4 months. You know, that's all.
Yeah, that's a decent idea. I don't think the Koch brothers are going to go for that, though.
No, probably not, nor Congress, actually. No. But if we have an election, and I think we will, my question to you is, because I'm very concerned about the way this election is could go and the way things are going generally in the politics of this country, is it's closer, I think, than we think. And that's certainly an impression I get from the rest of the country, too. And some polls are saying that, too. So my question to you is two parts. We'll do one part at a time. First part being, if you were the campaign manager for the Obama campaign, how would you direct it, construct it, in terms of style? Not issues so much, because issues, you know, aren't discussed seriously anyway during the campaign. They aren't discussed really seriously during the debates. It's a question of style. It's a question of how you're presenting Obama, President Obama, to the public. The second question is, if you were coaching President Obama as a voice coach or a performance coach, how would you coach him to perform? And that's very significant because if you remember, and we were just talking about it again, Jan pointed it out. She's so damn sharp. I should have stayed married to her. I am married to her. What am I thinking?
Jen, Terry has some news to announce to you tonight.
Sorry,
she had to tell you in this way. But, that's so rude to do that, Terry. At least divorce her in private.
But at least we're only at 2,000 watts. You know,
that's
not
true.
At 50,000
right,
watts.
So only 2,000 people heard it, right? That's the way it works out, right? And now I forgot what I was going to say. I'm so upset.
Well, it was probably was dull and uninteresting anyway. So,
yeah, exactly. Probably. You're talking about style.
Style. Obama's style. That President Obama, when he was first campaigning and when he was President of the United States, did not know that to communicate on television, he has to look into the camera. Camera, you know, the way you know it, when you're doing television, it's your camera's on, little red light's on, or the stage manager shows you. And he'd be looking on teleprompter here or teleprompter there, but not looking direct into the camera. If you don't look into the camera, you're not looking into the viewer's eyes. They don't believe you're sincere. He had to be taught that. Good thing that he was. So that would be the style part if we were coaching him, and what else would we do with his voice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But first, Mark, am I going too fast for me?
I think for you, Terry.
No question.
The rest of
it.
Us, too, now, a long time ago.
If you were the campaign manager, if you were the Karl Rove of the Obama, I know it's sort of an oxymoron.
Karl Rove.
Yeah. You have to gain some weight and lose some hair.
Yeah. If you were the Karl Rove, the manager of the Obama presidential campaign, what would you do to defeat the mitt?
First thing I do is fire Bob Schrum. He's never had a winning election.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me he's on the stand.
No, I don't know that he is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that he is, but he's like the losingest Democratic pundit ever. No, I hope he's not. Sorry, Bob. He actually is a nice guy, but he's just the worst political operative ever.
You have to be evil.
Number two, I would like to see a more huggable Barack.
That style of him.
Well, I'm talking about getting him out there among ordinary people.
Huggable.
No, let me tell you something. Our vice president, whatever you think of him, is a very huggable guy.
Yeah, he is.
Vice President Joe Biden, I've always said, it's like a big old puppy dog that runs over to you and loves you really hard and slobbers on you and knocks over things, but really, really loves you.
I think you're right, because all of us long to hug. You know,
well,
the vice president.
Well,
we don't long to hug the president.
Well, that's right. Joe Biden is very approachable.
Yeah, but I think the Secret Service might step in. Look, I'd shy away from trying to hug
Joe. Joe Biden has the same skills that Bill Clinton had. I mean, he's definitely got. I'm talking about political skills. I'm not talking about although I think he's smart. But I'm not talking about intellectual policy or anything. I'm talking about mere style. Joe Biden is very approachable, very much. You could see him put on a hard hat, go to a construction site, and no one would think two things about it. Barack Obama, you really can't see him so much with the hard hat on the construction site.
No.
So what I want to see him do is go to ordinary places. Go to elementary schools.
Come back to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Hospitals. Go
Ben's
to
Chili Bowl.
Ben's Chili Bowl would be a great place for him to go.
Particularly on a Tuesday night at 7.
Yeah, let's go.
Ben's Next Door.
Let's go. Let's start a campaign here.
Actually, Ben's Next Door would be better on Tuesdays at 7.
Yeah.
Because if he goes about chili bowl, we might lose our
entire audience. Right. Oh, yeah. Ben's next door.
So Ben's next door. Yes, Barack, you're welcome to come and join us. You know what? We might even give you a microphone and give you a little word at edgewise in between Terry and Garland.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Okay, but no, I want to see him a little more of the common touch. Look, okay. Barack Obama, no one doubts his intelligence. No one doubts, but I think he has a little loss for the common man touch. And I think he could learn a little, take some lessons from Joe Biden in approaching ordinary people and hanging out with them, whether in diners or wherever else. Okay. That's my first advice.
If you were managing his campaign, what would you do to save the election? Because he's obviously going to lose to Mitt, because Mitt's got all the money, and he's charming, and he's got interesting
Mitt
hair.
Mitt is not charming, please.
Charming.
He has lots of money.
He's got better hair than Donald Trump. Let's give him that.
Everyone has better hair than Donald Trump.
True.
Terry,
true.
Even you have better hair than Donald Trump.
Thank you.
That's like
that
the only time I've ever complimented you.
Thank you.
Kelly Savalas has better hair than Donald Trump.
Anyway, Carl.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a firm believer in the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Last time I checked.
It ain't broke?
Here's what I'd say. Number one, in 2008, if he didn't look into the camera, I wouldn't tell him to start looking into the camera. I'd say do what you've been doing. And again, I feel that it's an issue. Let me put it to you like this. Think about Mitt Romney.
Why?
Mitt Romney always tries to be all things to all people. He is what he is, but he gets around regular guys and he tries to act like a regular guy and he comes across stiff. You know, then he gets around a different group and he tries to act like them and he comes across stiff. No matter who what he tries,
he's got stiff down. He really
does. Because that's what it is. People can pick up insincerity. And I would say you have to be what you are. Otherwise, you come across insincere. It would be like, can you imagine if you said to Joe Biden, look, from now on, I want you to be more like Barack Obama.
Yeah.
How would that work out?
That would not work out.
It would work out so much. The reverse is true.
Carly,
or, better yet, if I said to Mark, I want you to be more like Terry.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
That would lead to suicide.
Yeah. We need some sagacity there,
Mark. You don't want blood here. You don't want suicide right here at Ben's next door.
And that would be the audience once they saw you trying to act like Terry.
That's true. I'll tell you this, though.
They don't jump over the rail.
There is no way that the two of us could be one. I mean, that would be bad.
Garland, you make a good point, though.
I'm feeling a oneness here, though, guys. I'm feeling a oneness.
You make a good point. One of the worst things Barack Obama did in 2008, electoral style, was when he went bowling in Pennsylvania. Remember
that?
That
didn't work out.
And rolled a number of gutter balls. I'm not saying put on the construction hat. I'm not saying act like every man. And speaking of hats, did you see Michelle Obama very, very smartly? This well-meaning person down in, I don't remember where it was, Texas, wherever she was, a Democrat.
There are no well-meaning people in Texas.
Maybe she was.
Wait a minute. Those two terms are mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Austin is an okay place.
Okay, it used to be.
Anyway. Some man tried very hard to put a cowboy hat on Michelle Obama's head, and she very deftly pushed off the hat. Very smart. Michelle's no fool.
Michelle for president.
She would not look good in a cowboy hat.
But I
think that Barack Obama can hang out with regular people without trying to go bowling or wear a construction hat, without trying to fake who he is.
Yeah,
but it's not a question of changing him per se. You have to accept, even though we know this.
I don't accept much of anything.
You can stay.
I believe in Bigfoot. That's about it.
We know that.
For everything else,
we
know I don't believe
in. In fact, that's your cousin, isn't it?
Yeah. We're real close.
Anyway, getting back to the topic. You know, this is showbiz. I mean, politics is showbiz. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why do you think they're having those stupid conventions? Not because they're going to solve any issues or do anything important. It's because it's showbiz. So you've got to perform in terms
balloon
of
balloon manufacturers need jobs, Terry.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Confetti manufacturers.
But those are American-made balloons.
Yeah.
And confetti.
Hand-torn
confetti.
You know, he does
by a number of illegal immigrants.
By union workers, I might add.
There are people that think, I mean, this election, I think, is going to be close, if nothing else, because there's so much money involved in it.
Yeah.
Elections are not won by policy. They're not won by intellect and critical thinking.
I know you think the average American but it's not 100%, Terry.
You think the American public is actually going to dedicate themselves to learning how to be critical thinkers before
some
the election?
Some do. We're not all idiots.
No, six of
Speak
them
for
do.
Yourself.
Six of them do. That's it. You know, maybe seven because we've got some here in the audience tonight. But, you know, you've got to have a style that works with the public. And Obama has come off over time to a lot of people, and I'm just getting feedback, that he is tiresome, that he is pedantic, That he
pedantic.
Is pedantic.
I like that.
That he is a lecturer as opposed to a communicator.
He is a little bit. I'll grant you, he's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's not kind of warm and fuzzy.
He's kind of professorial.
He's not huggable like Joe Biden. That's true.
And Terry.
That's
Terry part huggable. Who he is.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And keep your hands off me. Anyway. All right. So we're generally agreed that we're, for the first time, the Raucous Caucus is generally agreed that he does need to change his personal style.
No. Garland
we've
says no.
We've never agreed on anything. And if we did, then I would change whatever my position was.
Thank you. Thank you, Garland.
That's integrity.
To be true to the Raucous.
Is his name Mitt Romney, by the way?
Well, whatever I disagreed with last week, I still disagree with it.
Did you know, since the healthcare thing has been supported by the Supreme Court, thank you, Justice Roberts, here, for a little bit of intelligence. Did you know that there are only three states in the United States that already have the exchanges in place?
And Massachusetts.
They are California and Massachusetts and Utah. Mitt Romney's
Utah.
Home. Yes. Utah and Massachusetts.
I didn't know about Utah.
Mitt's home. His
I'm
support.
Surprised about Utah.
Yeah. Not that the man's hypocritical or anything, but, you know, just pointing it out. All right.
He invented it, for God's sake. It only makes sense that they
would. It was a conservative idea that came from the Harris Foundation.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yes, it was. And we should mention, because, you know, Garland and Mark, you know, I love them. I missed them when I was out of town, but they don't understand.
Thanks, Terry.
They don't understand the topic or the issues.
I think
so.
I'm
we have an open mic over here.
Is that why you're divorcing Jan? Or is that?
Well, I don't want to get into that.
All right. Okay.
You know what? We've been through the. Actually, so you have some perspective. You know, Jan and I have been married three times. This is true. And our anniversary.
A little TMI, Terry.
Yeah.
I see your wife turning red and covering
true,
herself with a napkin.
We have. And our anniversary was June 30th. And I was busy fighting the forest fires, you know, in Colorado Springs and forgot.
Yeah.
You know, you forgot your anniversary?
I was fighting the forest fires. Yeah.
Wow.
Know, I mean,
Jan, feel free to throw food at him tonight.
Oh no!
And I thought it was a very kind gesture that as an anniversary present, she sent him a can of gasoline. I thought that was very nice.
Not subtle. Yeah. Though, you know, yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I thought it was nice.
That's right. Hey, you know, gas prices are
who
down.
Who brought
now.
This up? That's what I want to know.
I
What's
believe
more,
it was
I
you.
Brought this up to begin with,
Mr. Kester.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Kester.
All right. Moving right along, we do have an open mic here. So if you in the audience have any, if you're not listening to the show and you're driving by and you're going to stop and get a. Half smoke, come up here to the mezzanine and join us and join in the show.
We are here, by the way, every Tuesday in July.
Every Tuesday,
So there are five Tuesdays in July. And what normally happens is we have a smaller crowd the first one and then people here. And by the last Tuesday, it's roaring full of people.
Yeah, some of them will have electricity by the last Tuesday.
And they'll have more than 2,000.
And there's air conditioning here at Ben's Next Door.
Hey,
so if you're driving around and you're out of power.
And jump into
come
the fray
and join
here.
Food, water, provisions, things like that.
You do have to listen to Terry a little bit. But, you know, Garland and I do it every week and we survive.
You do what every week?
We
never mind.
To
don't
you.
Don't even get. I don't even want to know. All right. So you guys basically feel his style is fine.
No. Garland
says
huggable.
Yeah,
no,
I do. Mark doesn't.
I just want him to be a little
more approachable. Look, yeah. I liked one of the things I really liked is when he went on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Yep.
And what do you call it? Slow jammed the news, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the best things that Bill Clinton did, I really do believe, was playing the saxophone with the sunglasses.
And he wasn't actually
Hall
that good
show.
At the time, but he did play it.
It's a man of the people. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a cool thing. It's what your friend might do if you were a little drunk, right here at Ben's Next Door. It's not, it's okay to not be so presidential all the time.
Since we're still sticking with style, now transfer this to the debates. Okay, there
yeah,
he
don't
is.
Do it during the debates. Yeah. Don't slow jam the debates.
No,
I'm against
don't
that.
Don't wear sunglasses and play a saxophone during the debates.
No, I'm against that.
But he's going to be in the debates with Mitt. Mitt's going to be well coached. There's no question about that. Whether he pulls it off is another question. How should he stylistically deal content? Well, not content. We'll get into content a little bit more.
He can wear a T-shirt saying, I'm with a billionaire.
I like that. An arrow pointing.
I'm with the rich guy.
Oh, okay. I'm applause for that.
Yeah. I like that. Right. I like that.
Right. I want to tax him more.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Garland, how should he handle himself in the debate?
That's a good question. You know, I don't really have an answer for that because, you know, again, it gets back to substance, I think, when we start talking about debate. As far as handling himself, I think he has
substance during the debates.
I'll tell you something.
Substance during the debates?
Yes, substance matters, Terry. I know you don't want it to.
It matters, but we don't get it during the debates. But anyway, so you don't think he needs to change a thing in terms of
I think he needs to do what he's doing.
do what he's doing.
Maintain,
so still,
as, how we, should he address, as we say it? In the boating world, maintain course and speed.
How should he address Mitt? How should he refer to him? Should he? Should he ignore him?
Governor Romney.
I call him Wilfred.
Willard,
Wilfred, whatever.
Okay.
No, yeah, I'd call him Wilfred and then make him say, no, it's Willard. I'd say, okay, Willard.
There you go.
Yeah, we go.
One thing he can do during the debate, and
hug Mitt.
And I'm really serious about
this. Is
that it?
What? Hug Mitt?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's what he should do during the debate, and I'm deadly serious about this. When the debates begin, no matter how Ann Romney's horse does in the Olympics, he needs to comment on. He needs to congratulate Mitt Romney on his horse doing well in the dressage, or he needs to console Mitt because Mitt's dance routine for the horse did not succeed as well as the Chinese.
I like that.
And he needs to say, you know, I was sorry to hear that your horse did not dance as well as the Chinese horse, even though you picked the tune, Mitt. But some Americans were worried about a job and, you know, whatever. I mean, make it a little bit nicer than that.
I want everybody to realize, everybody in the audience and everybody listening, that Mark has come up with two good ideas in one part of the show.
Thank you.
I mean,
two.
How you doing,
two,
Doug?
What's that?
You have any good ideas?
The dressage
is
a serious suggestion. The t-shirt was not.
Yeah.
But seriously, he really needs to either congratulate or console Mitt Romney on either succeeding or failing in the horse dancing in the Olympic competition.
Okay, Garland, how should he deal with Bain?
Bain?
Bain. How should he deal
with
Bain?
Oh, I think he should go after Bain. I think he should go after, I think that is an issue that it all works around the whole, this is a very, very wealthy guy, and he is proposing policies that will help very, very wealthy people. I think you need to connect Mitt Romney's, I mean, there's no crime in being wealthy. But
yes, there is.
I think you need to. I think
mention the tax deduction for the horse.
No,
which is a lot.
The horse
gets a bigger tax deduction than most middle American families.
That's justice in America.
I think that he needs to continually do whatever he needs to do, whether it's what Mark just said, which again connects the dots between Mitt Romney, his wealth, and his policies, which help the wealthy. So what Mark said is great because it's from the perspective of style. It's not directly addressing anything, but it's kind of a subtle inference that, let's face it, most people don't have a horse dancing around in the Olympics.
Let's go back historically.
Now you may, Terry. I don't know.
No, I used to, but I can no longer do those big jumps. You know.
No. We're not asking you to do the dances.
No, well, we're saying your horse.
We're saying you would own a horse that would do the dances. Explain it to him, Garland.
I run in the Derby. What more do you want? You know, and it's hard. It's really hard.
All I see is a lot of horse things I can't say on the air.
You take me back to my days in the Metropolitan Opera, but that's another story entirely. Anyway, the question that I have is, you look back in history and you know full well that, which election was it? Dan Quayle and...
John Quincy Adams.
No.
Wasn't that your first election? No?
Dan Quayle did not run against...
1824?
Nothing about history. Dan Quayle, the former governor of Texas that was running as vice president, and he said, I knew Jack Kennedy and you.
Oh, Lloyd Benson.
Lloyd Benson. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And
now
you, sir, are no Jack Kennedy.
Yeah. And that, you know, was huge. That was huge.
Yeah, but that's because it was Dan Quayle. You could do that to a Dan Quayle, a Sarah Palin, or George Bush.
Yeah. But then you've got, you know, Ronald Reagan, you know, not maybe the sharpest guy on the whole planet.
But he looked good in the suit.
He comes up with that one phrase. There you go again. And that had enormous
More than
effect.
One phrase. Are you better off than you were 4 years
yeah,
ago?
Right.
It was a very
well,
good
Ronald Reagan
phrase.
Well, he was probably fed. Maybe
he was
fed
both of them, I'm sure.
Okay, so if you were going to give Obama a phrase, what would that phrase be?
It's gotta be Willard.
No. Something they could get away with. I the whole point of this, I think this election is going to be very close, and I'm meeting more and more pundits that are saying exactly the same thing. It's going to be very close, and it's going to be, as much as I have anger towards some of the things Obama's done, it's going to be a disaster if he loses.
Go ahead.
I think that what President Obama has to do is, I think he has to do something that he did in 08, and that is, he has to, as far as style, stay on a kind of a factual policy basis, as bad as this sounds, for this reason. The Republicans are going to go after him. He's Barack Obama. He's evil. He's bad. They're going to go
after
him.
They're going to talk about the economy
as some kind of an evil entity. And you know, they, in 2008, they did the Jeremiah Wright thing. They did all this. They went after him, and he stayed on policy point. And I think that from a style, they're going to be attacking the entity that is Barack Obama. And I think he has to kind of stay above the fray.
See, Garland, I don't think so.
In the campaign, but I don't think that works during the debate.
I think 2012 is going to be very different from 2008.
Yep.
I think that it actually didn't work in 2008. But the reason Republicans tried it in 2008 is Barack Obama was unknown. He was a black man. We never talk about that. He was someone who didn't have a long political record. He was a state senator. So they could talk about this strange guy who has a crazy pastor and so forth. That ain't going to fly. Everybody knows and either likes or dislikes Barack Obama personally already. And in fact, most Americans like him. And the people who don't like him are already going to vote against him.
Right.
I think the Republicans will not go after Jeremiah Wright, will not go after him personally the way the Tea Party people do to their fans. I think it's going to be economy.
This is your economy,
Obama. This is your fault. People are suffering and you're to blame. They're going to be very much Johnny One Notes. That's what they're going to say.
I agree. We're going to come back in just a moment here. We're not going to come back. We have to keep on talking. I'm trying to understand my brilliant engineer.
How would you respond, Terry, to Johnny One Note Economy? What are you going to do when Mitt Romney says this is your economy? This is your fault, Barack.
I think, you know, the most honest thing he could say, and I hope he does say it one way or another, is the Republicans have been saying that they are going to create jobs. That they, the captains of industry and the captains of American finance, are going to create jobs. We all know by this time, during this continuous recession, that the captains of industry and the banks already have buckets of money.
And they went down with their ships, those captains.
Tons of money, and they have not used any of it to create jobs anywhere. Why should we ever believe that they are capable of creating jobs?
But
private
Terry,
industry can even create jobs unless it's government that leads them.
Terry, they've got a trillion or so buckets of money. If you give them 2 trillion buckets of money, they may just use it. Or 4 trillion buckets of money.
So it's got to be more. We got to wrap it up. This is the Ruckus Caucus. I am Terry DeKester with Garland Nixon and Mark Levine. We will be back in just one moment. Let's hear it for President Obama and his T-shirt.
Join us at Ben's Next
Huggable,
Door, folks.
Huggable, President Obama.
Can you describe in 2 minutes what it means to be an artist and give back to your community? The Hung Tao Choi Mei Leadership Institute invites you to participate in their spoken word video contest in celebration for the Paul Robeson Here I Stand Award Gala honoring hip-hop artist Common. The winner gets a chance to perform their piece and meet Common at the ceremony to be held Saturday, September 8th at the historic Lincoln Theater. Please visit www.martialactivist.org or the Hung Tao Choi Mei Leadership Institute Facebook page for more information. WPFW is proud to be the media sponsor for the Hung Tao Choi Mei Leadership Institute's Paul Robeson Here I Stand Awards Gala. WPFW representing 100% of the 99.
Into the night and back to the Ruckus Caucus. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the Ruckus Caucus. I am Terry DeKester, and on my right is my colleague
Garland Nixon.
And on my other right is my colleague
Mark Levine.
Oh, it's so lonely up here. It really is. This is the Ruckus Caucus, WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. We are performing live tonight. Can we hear from the audience so that we know you're live out there? I know you love us. Come on. All right.
Woo!
Okay. All right. All right. Aaron, don't just sit there and eat. Applaud. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to.
Aaron was applauding.
He wasn't applauding. He was eating. I was. Watching.
Aaron designed a very good sign.
He was doing kind of one of those seals.
Don't pick on Aaron.
Going on.
Thank you, Aaron. Hey, for Aaron. All right. Anyway, This is the Ruckus Caucus.
Tell them
where
we are.
We're down here at Ben's next door at 1211 U Street.
Right next to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. You can come down. You can get a half smoke. You can get crab cakes.
You can get air conditioning if you have none at home.
Right.
You can meet this incredible audience, our incredible engineer, Daniel. You can meet us. You can meet Janice, who's going to be joining us next week, hosting the show live right here at Ben's.
And let me encourage people to really come down and help support Janice. Whenever we have a co-host like that, someone who supports the show, and she's got a really interesting topic, and one we've never done before, focusing on Virginia politics.
The corruption of Virginia politics.
And it's something that we've done lots and lots of topics. We've been on the air for three or four, God knows how many years now.
By now.
But we've never really done a show
on
the state of Virginia. Yep. And I really am glad she's bringing up the topic.
Do we get to talk about Mark's favorite politician, Cuccinelli?
I'm sure we can.
Your favorite guy?
Yeah. Well, next week, yes. Next week we certainly can.
Well, who had a big failure before the United States Supreme Court?
Yes, I know.
Remember, he spent all that Virginia tax money to be a complete flop. Again, what we expected, please come in
here.
Support Janice next week. She's going to bring some friends.
Now.
We will be at Ben's next door every single Tuesday in the month of July. There are five Tuesdays in July, and I encourage you to come on down from 7 to 8 p.m.
And you know, nationally, we're going to be recognized this. I mean, five Ruckus Caucuses in a row at Ben's next door.
That's a lot.
It's overwhelming. I mean, people are drinking and carrying on in ways you just can't imagine. Thank you.
And you get to see the new poster that Aaron designed of us on Mount Rushmore.
Right. The Ruckus Caucus poster.
Anyway, we're talking about how to get President Obama reelected. I'm going to remind you right now, just because we forget sometimes, that following this brilliant show filled with sagacity and laughter, is Brother Ah and the Jazz Collection. And I don't know about you, but when we finish this show, I'm a little bit exhausted, and it's nice to have some wonderful jazz music by Brother Ah. So please stay tuned to WPFW and listen to Brother Ah as well. And just because I know sometimes we get worked up and sometimes we forget sometimes to mention our brilliant engineer over at WPFW, David Kelly, not to mention our wonderful engineer here, Daniel, who we never forget. So now we've given all the credits and we can get back to having fun.
We worry Daniel every week. He's like,
yes,
there's 3 minutes to go. Where is everybody? We'll be here. Here we come, 90 seconds before airtime. We're always here.
There you go. So we're talking about how to get President Obama reelected, believing and knowing perhaps that if we don't get Obama reelected, the country's doomed. The country may be doomed anyway, but, you know, it's going to have a better chance of at least floating through the muck. Well said. You know, if he's reelected. So we now agree to some degree on what we've talked about, what kind of stylistic changes. We sort of agree, I think, that the big issue is going to be the economy, which really means it's going to be the word relating to the economy always has to do with jobs. How is this health care, the fact that the Supreme Court basically upheld this health care law, is that going to help Obama or hurt him?
I don't think...
You know the Republicans are going to spend billions denouncing it.
I don't think it will move a lot. I think a lot of people already have their views on it. I still think President Obama needs to do a better job in telling people what's in the bill, but I've been saying that for years. That's not new election wisdom.
The entire Democratic Party needs to do that.
It's something really that they should have done for years now because, again, when they poll each of the individual elements of it, people love it. People love closing the donut hole and then ending, you know,
let me
lowering
give you a
profits
clue
for health
that.
Insurance
really
companies.
Important.
And
I saw this only by accident. The Kaiser Family Foundation, which anybody can go to on the web, Kaiser Family Foundation, not connected with Kaiser Permanente, excellent foundation, has a superb 9-minute video that's in cartoon fashion, extremely well done, extremely well narrated. It's light and it's interesting, but at the same time, it lays out perfectly clearly the problems with the system, what the people against healthcare proposals felt, what the people for it felt, what has happened since it's been put into law, what difference does it make. It's only nine minutes long, Kaiser Family Foundation. It's brilliant.
I want to finish answering your question because I don't want to be like those in the media that only talk about the politics of it and don't give the actual. So let's just, for a minute, say what's in the bill. So that people, we don't make the mistake that some of the media have made. So number one, if you have a pre-existing condition, you are covered. The right to get health care. Number two, if you're 26 or under, you can be on your parents' plan.
And I just read the data, something like now 50-some percent of all young men and women between the ages of 20 and 24 are still staying at home, so it's nice that they have insurance.
And let me add this, And I saw an article today that said a number of the Republicans in Congress who are against the bill have their college-age health children
of course, on their health care coverage
and are taking advantage of the bill as they oppose it.
Number two, the exchanges.
Let me get to that. Number three.
I thought that was number two.
If you get Medicare, they close the donut hole of prescription drug coverage.
So no, step by step by step, not completely. It's going to take a while.
But yes, there's
the whole bill isn't going to be fully implemented until 2014. Right. But the point is understanding what the bill does as a whole.
Yeah, it's
lots of it is step by step.
It closes the donut hole a little bit each year.
But it eventually closes the donut hole entirely. Number four.
You'll die before then, but anyway.
No, number four, this one's real important. It limits the profits of health insurance companies. They have to, depending on their size, either spend 80% or 85% of all the money they take in actually on healthcare. They can't use it for the CEO's private jet. They can't use it to pay the board of directors extensive salaries. Medicare has 3% overhead. The insurance companies have 50 to 20%, but that's it.
I'm fascinated to see how they're going to enforce it.
And they've actually already begun rebates.
Yep.
Just last week.
Rebates to whom?
Rebates to people who had given money to the insurance company, and the insurance company tried to keep.
To individuals or to companies?
To individuals.
To people. To the actual people who have health care coverage.
There were 6 million rebate checks that were issued just 2 weeks ago.
Did
you not
rebates.
Get yours?
No, I did not, as a matter of fact.
Well,
I certainly deserve one.
If your insurance company is spending less.
This is not retroactive in any way whatsoever.
It's starting this year.
It started in 2012.
Started this year. The first rebate checks just went out in the month of June. And this is something where people are going to start liking those checks and start saying, hey, my health insurance company used to keep these and it went to their profits. Because these are checks back from companies who are not spending the money on health care.
And the Democratic Party needs to remind people of that over and over.
That are going to be set up in each state. And again, as we were talking about, I think, before the show or maybe during the show, that's Utah and Massachusetts, Mitt's home states, already have these exchanges.
The exchanges make sure that you can get adequate health care no matter whether you're employed or unemployed, no matter who your employer is, no matter what coverage they give you, no matter what pre-existing condition you have, you'll be able to get health care.
And it's also going to expand Medicare by like 15 million people, those who are eligible for
and it will expand Medicaid up to 133% of the poverty level. So what that means basically is if you can afford health insurance, you got to buy it. But if you can't afford it, the government will provide it for you at all levels. And that's true, by the way, for big businesses and small businesses also get subsidies. A lot of business owners don't know this. Get subsidies to provide their employees with health care.
So, Garland, the question is, with this plan, the Republicans...
Oh, and it cuts the deficit by $1 trillion in 20 years, according to CBO.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe that stuff, but anyway...
The Republicans
are obviously going to be talking about repealing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How is Obama going to answer that? I mean, it's going to be a very strong charge. They're going to talk about it's not going to decrease insurance costs. It's going to raise insurance costs. If anything, the fact that the government is limiting what the insurance companies do is going to inspire them to raise their costs. So even though they can only get...
They can't raise the costs.
They can't raise the percentage, but they raise the cost. This is exactly...
Then they have to give it back.
I hate to point it... No. Raising the percentage.
Terry, if the insurance company takes in $1,000. Now let's listen up here.
I know.
They take in $1,000.
Hold us back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then they have to spend $800 on healthcare.
Right.
If they take in $2,000, they have to spend $1,600 on healthcare.
Yeah.
If there's not enough healthcare to spend it on, they have to give back all that excess premium.
I understand that, but the point is the cost is going to continue to raise the cost of healthcare.
Well, that's doctors and hospitals.
Because this is exactly,
but insurance companies
this is exactly what happened with student loans. The very fact that the government subsidizes or allows or creates a system for student loans is one of the factors that has raised tuition higher and higher and higher.
But there's more than that.
The healthcare will do exactly the same, even though there's that 80 and 20%.
It's
going to raise the cost.
There's also boards of doctors and professionals.
That's a whole different thing.
Sarah Palin called the death panels, but they're not death panels. They are professionals who will say, just as they do right now with Medicare, this operation, it makes sense to charge $50,000. It doesn't make sense to charge $100,000. You shouldn't staying overnight in a hospital, pay $25,000. That's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. There are panels that restrict costs.
Okay, but the Republicans are going to attack this. I mean, they're really going to attack this. And there's some legitimate reason for attacking it because, Jan and I have both worked in hospitals, Jan much more than I. And one of the things you see is people are thrown out of hospitals way before they should be thrown out of hospitals. I mean, you know, because of regulations already. I mean, it's actually cruel the way people, I've seen people with cancer, homeless people, literally pushed
out.
Not
if you're ashamed.
And Terry, you know, without care.
And Terry, you should know you've been thrown out of a lot of hospitals.
I've been thrown out of
a lot of
bars.
You've been thrown out of a lot of bars.
You know, it's legion. It really is. It really is. That's, I love the, anyway. So how are we going to answer that? When the, cause the Republicans are going to have some legitimate arguments and concerns. Exaggerated, to be sure. But.
And they should do what Mark did. Go with the flow. When the Republicans say, we're going to repeal it, they should, he should A, repeat the things that are in it and say, yeah, and they're going to repeal it. Go with it. When they say we're going to repeal it, well, it's going to have this, it's going to have this, it's going to have this, it's going to have that, and you're getting this, and these guys are going to repeal it. Why fight against it?
I like that.
But Romney wants to have it both ways. It was very interesting. Did you hear his speech after the Supreme Court upheld the bill? Romney comes out and he says really crazy stuff. He says, I want to repeal this horrible, horrible legislation. All right. What would you do? Would you say that people with pre-existing conditions should have care? Oh yeah, I'd say that. Would you say that kids under 26 should be on their parents' plan? Oh yeah, yeah, I definitely want that. Would you close the donut hole, in prescription drugs? Oh yeah, I want that. So your basic selling, Mitt Romney, is you support Obamacare. Oh no.
Right,
I would abolish it. Right. I just did it in Massachusetts. Yeah. But I would abolish it nationwide.
The part that he opposes is the Obama part of it.
Yeah, right.
He wants to call it Romneycare.
But
the interesting thing is
maybe
he won't be specific.
Maybe Obama should offer that. We'll change the name to Romneycare.
There you go.
In tribute to the man who first instituted it.
Yeah,
what do you say?
And he could have his name circle, his name above it, and then he could have like a circle and the little line through it, and then have Romney.
Yeah, I actually thought Obama Tim Pawlenty had the idea. Obamacare.
Obamacare.
That was Tim Pawlenty's
idea. Hey, I got an
idea.
One of the first things that he could do at a debate is thank him for coming up with
this wonderful idea.
And
specifically thank him for thank him for the individual mandate and say that, Mitt Romney, you were absolutely right when you said the individual mandate was necessary.
And the exchange.
And the exchanges. And that's why everyone in Massachusetts covered. Of course, we actually did Mitt Romney's idea and we did one better because it's much cheaper in the United States than it is in Massachusetts. But he gave us the seed of socialism that allowed us to spread across the country.
Like, okay, we're forming a staff here. We're getting a staff. This is good. Okay.
I don't know if I'd say seed of
socialism. I wouldn't say that. I was just...
Immigration. It's still going to be a big issue.
Let me tell you something. Latino vote is what's going to put President Obama over the top. Because he's already got the black vote. He's going to get the remnant of the white vote. He's going to get
those who can actually vote.
Latino American citizens, I think.
It's tough to vote when you're being, you know, exported.
I think the Latino American citizens in Colorado, in Nevada, possibly quite right in Virginia, possibly even Arizona.
It'll be fascinating to watch, particularly in Texas, where, you know, we're now the Latino population basically is the majority population.
They're not the majority. They're
40%
the plurality
or something.
Plurality, right? That's different. And so they should have a big voice. I haven't been able to spend a lot of research on this, but one, the Latinos aren't turning out a lot for elections.
Traditionally, they have not turned out very well for elections.
And now that there's a big fear, of course, about being, you know, deported and everything else, people are holding back even a little bit more.
No, but President Obama's...
And the other factor that I keep on hearing in the polls is the Catholic tradition and the general conservative, social conservative attitudes amongst the Latino population. That all of these factors are, in fact, again, making it very close.
First of all, President Obama was very smart. People said it was all very political. Maybe it was political. Whatever it was, President Obama's decision, and he should have made it earlier, to say that we're not going to deport children under a certain age who haven't committed a crime, even if they're undocumented, was the right policy. It was also good politics.
It's a beginning.
It's definitely going to help the Latino community. But also, when you talk about Catholics, let me tell you something I learned from my old boss, Barney Frank. Barney Frank said, don't let anyone tell you Catholics are conservative. Overall, Catholics are more liberal than Protestants in the United States of America because Catholics care about poverty.
Then Protestants are evangelists.
No, overall, the problem with Protestants is the majority, they're more evangelical Protestants.
That's the only problem with Protestants?
Than Lutheran, Methodists or mainline Protestants. But overall, as a whole in the United States, white Catholics are more liberal than white Protestants. And it's important to recognize that, because even though the five most conservative members of the Supreme Court happen to be Catholic, and there are definitely conservative Catholics out there, let's not forget that the Catholic...
And the church itself is relatively conservative.
As much as there may be disagreement on abortion and contraception, when it comes to social justice, when it comes to caring for poverty, American Catholics tend to be on the right side.
And so, I think, let me throw this out. I think that the Republicans are looking at Marco Rubio with the thought that, you know, tokenism still works. Yeah. Well, son of a gun, he's got a Hispanic-sounding last name, so it'll work. Here's what's important.
He is Hispanic.
Yeah, okay, but here's what's important. He's Hispanic. Okay. Now, we have to talk about culture. He is Cuban-American, which is a very distinct culture, and it's distinct from the Mexican and Central American culture.
And Puerto Rican, which is also different.
That dominates the Latino base in America.
It's true.
So there will not be the cultural identification. The Republicans always, you know, the same way. Well, we'll put Sarah Palin out there. She's a woman.
All Hillary voters.
Women
we'll put Clarence Thomas up there. Blacks like
women
him.
Women are so stupid, they'll just say, well, darn if there's a woman, I think I'll vote for her. Who knows about her policy? You know, that's the way they always believe this tokenism will work, and it never works. But the fact of the matter is...
You mean Michael Steele didn't bring all those blacks to the Republican Party?
He lost 100,000 votes in Maryland.
But now the Republican Party's entirely black. It's like Lincoln's
day. They're going to keep doing
it. Okay, staff. So we got this great staff now. There's no question about it that the three of us are... And of course, you... Tonight,
I think the White House, by the way,
only got about 15 minutes left. If there are people in the audience that want to give advice to the President of the United States, we'd love to hear from you.
He is listening.
Darren, my phone's buzzing. It's the White House.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that we're going to be invited to be their staff. So we've got to look out for what's going to happen.
Terry, given your arrest history, I'm not so sure.
Wait a minute. We got another call. It's for you, Terry. It's Dr. Freud on line one.
Again? You know, I don't mind Dr. Freud talking to me. It's the medium that I have
Dr. Delusional.
Yeah, right. I have to go through to talk to Dr. Freud. That's the problem. There's this middle. Anyway, there's going to be dirty politics. We know that. Where is President Obama most? As staff, we got to figure this out.
All right.
Where is he most vulnerable, Garland? What have we got to watch out for that the Republicans are going to do that they're going to attack? Where is he most vulnerable? And how do we counter it?
I'm stymied. I don't know.
It's simple.
I'm stuck. I'm a wonk, man.
I'll tell you where he's vulnerable. It's very simple. It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy. That's not.
There is one issue in this election. It is the economy.
There's never.
Can I repeat myself a few more times? It's the economy.
Please. You've made a career of repeating yourself one more time.
It's the economy.
But.
That's the issue. The unemployment rate will determine who wins this election.
That may be. It's going to be the issue. It's going to go back and forth. Everybody's going to say everything. Everybody's going to promise more jobs. You know, it's going to be just a stupid same old song we've heard a million times from both sides, frankly. Neither one can really solve the economic problems. I encourage you to read an article by the economist Hussman. Excellent article pointing out that whether the federal government subsidizes jobs or private industry creates jobs, it's not going to solve the economic problems in the country.
Disagree.
And particularly in terms of housing, which is, again, building towards another collapse.
Franklin Roosevelt did it.
Back up so that we know that song and dance. We know how we want that song and dance played. We know what we hope for in that song and dance. There will be things that will be brought up in the campaign, true or untrue.
Mostly untrue.
Mostly untrue, but there will be dirty politics. Where is he vulnerable? He's not vulnerable on the jobs because he knows how to counteract that. He's not vulnerable on the economy because he knows how to counteract that.
He is vulnerable on the economy, Terry. If the unemployment rate goes to 9%, we're going to see President Willard Mitt Romney.
You're talking about reality.
See, I got a little disagreement there, Mark.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Because I believe it's about two things. A, it's about the economy, and it's about whose plan to fix the economy. Because when they go to debate and Willard or Wilford or whoever says the economy's bad, then Barack Obama is in a position to say, but this guy's plan is to lower taxes for the rich and deregulate Wall Street. Because I think when the people talk about the economy, the question will arise, okay, you two guys are standing there. What is your plan to fix the economy? And I really believe that continually honing in on he wants to lower taxes for the rich and the corporations and deregulate Wall Street, I don't see a way out.
Exactly. That's the point. The answer exists. But what I'm trying to get you guys to do is get a little bit outside the box.
No,
Here's
how we go outside the box.
I want you to go back in history a bit and remember the Kennedy election against Nixon. Now, there's many reasons that Kennedy won.
Don't let Mitt Romney shave.
There's
5 o'clock shadow.
But the main reason that Kennedy won back then, besides Nixon, I'll pay for an election, but I'm not going to pay for a landslide.
That always helps.
But was, of course, the missile crisis. Now, if you remember
that. Missile crisis. We could invade a new country.
Right. But the missile crisis.
Who should we invade?
My point is, gentlemen, try to pay attention to history and fact here. I know it's
Vietnam
again.
That's
new territory.
Switzerland doesn't have an army.
They're giving us bases again.
Switzerland doesn't have an army.
It's so
hard to
reason with these people when they're just, the dosage is off. You know how it is? Anyway. The missile crisis was a totally made-up issue, which really is the biggest arguing point that Kennedy had. When they were claiming that the Russians had all these missiles, in fact, you know how many missiles there were at that time in the election that Russia had? Well, I mean, we had hundreds by that time, if not thousands. We had the hydrogen bomb. The Russians had six. That's what they had, total. That whole crisis was bull. By the way,
are you suggesting that President Obama make up a BS crisis simply to get elected?
I'm making the point that the Republicans will come up with some kind of phony issue, and I'm trying to anticipate.
They've been doing it for the last 4 years.
That could undermine
all their issues
the election.
Have been phony.
Nevertheless, thank heavens, I don't have to talk to you guys anymore because here's Janice.
She's going
to
be here next week.
Welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hello, Janice.
Thank you.
Speak into the microphone.
I think one of the issues will be if the question comes up, how many jobs has Obamaland created and how many jobs has Mitt and Bain created?
That's a good question. I like that way to phrase it. How many has Obama created versus how many Romney or Bain has
created?
Romney
created a lot in China and India.
China, India, Mexico.
Staples is one of his companies. And that has over 2,000 companies, 2,000 stores throughout the United States.
But here's the thing about Staples, all right? Romney got out before it ever became Staples. Romney has said that we can't blame him when Bain invests, for example, in centers that torture children. And we can't blame him when Bain outsources all these jobs because all this happened after he left. But Staples happened after he left.
But he gave Staples a chance. He gave when you
when it was a very tiny company.
But it doesn't matter. When you're an entrepreneur and you're just starting out and you need that $50,000, Obamaland's not there for you. And Bain or a company like that will be there.
But what he also did is he shut down company after company after company after loading them with debt.
Right.
So this is going to be a battle of numbers,
right.
A battle of statistics. People are going to, frankly, they're going to lose in the American paper company versus the steel company. But I think the main thing is to show that, as they did in the recent Washington Post article, that Romney was one of the architects of outsourcing. I mean, he was one of the first American companies to really encourage all those call centers, you know, the ones that don't speak English very well, and where you push all the buttons, press one, press six. This is Romney's idea.
Did you ever hear of NAFTA?
But Romney very much encouraged the companies that Bain was investing in.
So did NAFTA.
NAFTA is not running, Romney is.
But that's what venture capitalists do. Our venture capitalists do that. If we want jobs in America, we have to have good small business loans, and we don't have small business loans.
Well, that's true.
No small business opportunities right now within our government, and that is the issue. Yeah. And if you want to make a change, we have to go backwards almost to when with small businesses you could go to a bank, apply for a loan, have a good business plan, have a product, and get turned down by two or three banks. But then the government would come in and sponsor the loan, but it gave small businesses the opportunity to grow, which we don't have.
Well, you have just heard from Janice, who is going to be our co-host next week, on the Raucous Caucus. Right.
Thank you, Janice.
And I see, too, that Bill has shown up.
Let me just respond to what you said, though. Let's get to Bill.
We'll add it into the
equation here. I just want to be clear that the small business loans is part of the president's stimulus package that the Republicans keep voting down. I just want to be very clear on that.
And we still won't get any improvement in wages in the economy, even if we have 100,000 new small businesses. Bill!
Good evening, gentlemen.
Well, glad you made it for the last minute here, Bill.
All right.
Come a little earlier next time, will you?
I will try. Okay. Listen, there is one very obvious way that the president can go on the offensive against Mitt Romney on the economy. Romney is on record as saying he would have let the automobile industry go under at every opportunity until he makes himself sick with it.
That's true.
The president should say, let's... I believe in doing what works, and then he should follow it up by pointing out not only would the auto industry itself have gone under, but his research team should have ready all the jobs all over that are still left in this country supplying the auto industry.
And if
and remind everyone once more that Mitt Romney would have put all of those people out of work.
Absolutely. Tell him. By doing that, he can win Michigan and most importantly, Ohio. And the person who wins Ohio, mark my words, will win the election. So
and
that,
I believe there's still some auto supply plants in Missouri as well.
And other places
as there are, as a matter
Let me just give one last idea. I'm going to throw this out. Garland was suggesting, you know, mix up his name, Willard or Wilfred.
No,
I think just I think the best idea is to call him Wilbur in honor of his wife's horse.
Yeah, Wilbur.
Wilbur. Wilbur Mitt Romney, whose horse is in the Olympics.
All right, let me ask you this, Garland. Do you buy the idea that Mitt Romney does have a real chance of winning this election?
You know, the last time I checked, the Koch brothers alone were going to put $395 million out of their own pockets.
Are you serious?
Into it.
Yep.
Yes.
Shell Nadelson's putting $100 million.
Yeah. So the bottom line is, there will be money thrown. You know,
it's going to be five or six to one against us.
We discussed this a while back. We still do not know what effect completely that Citizens United will have on what at one time may have been interpreted as a democracy.
Okay, briefly, Mark, I know it's hard, but briefly, do you think Obama can lose?
Yes. I think if the unemployment rate goes up from here, he's got a real chance of losing.
What if it stays
election.
The same, which is probably
I think he'll win. If the unemployment rate stays between 8 and 8.5%, I think Obama will eke out a win. If it's between 8.5 and 9, there's a decent shot he'd lose. If it's over 9, he's out.
Voter suppression, you got voter suppression, and you got all these shiesty, crooked, unknown dollars coming in.
We're doing
in.
A radio show here, Bill.
I think, what I'm saying, Terry, is...
Well, work with us.
I think there are factors outside of the normal elements that are going to affect it. The big money... And the super PACs are going to affect it, and the voter suppression issues are going to affect it.
He could win
based on things that have nothing to do with the unemployment rate.
Or he could win simply by the brilliance of those commercials that are created with all that money. Because if you look at Wisconsin, classic example, $27 million and a couple of absolutely brilliant commercials that undermined all of the energy
that ran 24 hours a day, seven days a week because of so much money.
That one particular commercial was just brilliantly structured and really changed the voting outcome of that election.
So let's sum
it
up. It
can
for folks.
Be done.
Let's sum it up for folks. We think that he needs to hang out with ordinary people and remind them of all he's done.
He's got to get huggable.
He can be huggable.
He can be huggable.
Climate change. He should talk
about
climate change.
Obama has Trump. No, he shouldn't. No.
Nobody believes in climate change. We were just talking
about it. It's only 104 degrees in Washington, D.C.
We got forest fires. We got people out of the... I think it'll work.
You know, I don't want to be crass about it, but politicians, that again, to me, it's showbiz. I'm sorry. It's not politics. But he should make better use... This sounds cynical, but I mean, it's valuable. He should make better use of his children, too. I mean, they are wonderful. They are beautiful kids.
And Michelle.
And Michelle.
Everyone
Terry,
loves Michelle.
Cynical? That's so out of character for you.
I know. It's new. I'm just going to try it.
We're going to be back next week, the three cynical lots of us, with Janice, who you heard speak briefly. She is going to give her topic. She's going to talk about Virginia.
It's so
politics.
Hard to get love in this room. You know that?
People are already catcalling from the audience. Remember, we are here at Ben's every single Tuesday in July.
That's right.
Whether you like it or not, by golly, we're here. The Raucous Caucus, WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. I am Terry DeKessler, the Doctor of Sagacity, with my colleague
Garland Nixon
and my colleague
Mark Levine.
And you can reach us all kinds of ways. You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us at WPFW.org. And etc. And Brother Ah is next. And thank you, David Kelly. And thank you, Danielle. And thank you, audience, for joining us here
thank
in the Raucous Caucus.
See you next week.
Next week with Janice.
WPFW, Washington.
Thank you.